So a year or two ago, I was in the midst of preparing a talk for a Sunday morning service such as this, and my wife, Belinda, asked me, what do you get out of doing these talks? And the subtext was, why would you get up in front of people and talk if it's not part of your job or if you don't have to otherwise? Why would you do that? And I gave it a bit of thought, and I realized a couple of things. And one is, and Belinda would affirm this, I spend a fair amount of time in my head. And a good chunk of that time spent in my head is work-related stuff. But there's this whole other chunk of time that I spend in my head just thinking about stuff, pondering the way things are, pondering the way I am, wondering about why things the way are the way they are, why I am the way I am. And oftentimes these thoughts are like, there's not organization to them, they're fragments, they're random. And I realized that in planning a talk like this, it gives me the opportunity to dig into some of those thoughts a little bit deeper and to corral them a bit, try to organize them in a way that makes sense to me and hopefully makes sense to other people. Opportunities, sort of a funny word, right? Because we have opportunities all the time. Digging a little deeper, trying to figure that out. I could have done that anytime. But there's something about saying, yeah, put me down for the service on the 19th, all of a sudden, the opportunity becomes like, well, now you better get this done by the 19th. And I like that. It over the years, it's given me, well, it's forced me to kind of organize my thoughts a little bit. And that's not, has been the case here. There's two aspects of myself that have kind of, I've been curious about over the years, and not curious about either one of them independently of the other, but about the relationship with the two of them. And one is that I have a fairly strong independent streak in me. In some respects, or at certain times over my life, I've tended to be a bit of a loner. And yet, there's another side of me that just finds great reward in my relationships with other people. And not just, you know, certainly my intimate relationships, my relationships with family, but with friends. And also, I get a deep pleasure and satisfaction out of being a member of the human race, being part of this larger community. Okay, so Aristotle and Emerson have already established for us that we as people, we are individuals. And yes, we are social beings as well. That's no great mystery, no great surprise. The curiosity for me, though, I think resulted from the fact that I tended to think of those two dynamics as being on a continuum. Individuals over here, community member over here, some of us land in the middle, some of us land over here, some more towards community. And what I couldn't figure out is where did I land? Because sometimes I feel in the middle, other times certain aspects of my personality are at the far ends. Anyway, that was the thing that I had the opportunity to think about in regard to this service today. Growing up, and actually through my college years and adult life, I've had lots of wonderful friendships. But I also noticed that that I've tended to linger more around the periphery of social circles rather than being at the very heart or core of them. I wouldn't venture at this point to say exactly why that is, except it's enough of a pattern for me to realize that's been comfortable for me. That's my comfort zone. In college, I remember, well, sophomore year, joining a fraternity. That's a pretty social thing, right? And then within a few months, I realized I had no interest in being in a fraternity. What was I thinking? So the fraternity and I parted ways amicably, and I maintained some very nice friendships out of that experience, but otherwise didn't have much or anything to do with the functions of the fraternity after that. The other thing I'd say during my college years that kind of relates to the way I experience myself is that through a variety of history courses and political science courses, I developed in me a rather soft spot for some of the philosophical underpinnings of Marxism. In my post-college years, right out of college, I got a job, quite by accident, in social services. I spent 9 years working out at the Bethesda Children's Home, which is a court-ordered placement for troubled youth. Ended up working there quite by accident, but I stayed there 9 years because something about that experience really grabbed me by the collar and said, hey, this is important and this is interesting. That's a pretty social thing to do. During those same years, however, I was living by myself in a small house out in the middle of the woods in the suburbs of Guy's Mills, basically living a hermit's life. And that was wonderful for me. I loved it. And maybe that for me was a bit of a balance for the intense social interactions that took place at work on a regular basis. In any case, after about 3 years of that, I decided, well, I was conflicted. I really enjoyed living out there. I loved living out there by myself. But I didn't want to be turned into a 40, 50-year-old guy who was still living by myself out in the woods. And I thought, if I don't make a change soon, that could be me. So I left my beloved house in the woods and bought a place in town. And within a year or so, I was in a long-term relationship with a lovely woman. And within a year of that, I was married. And within a year of that was the birth of my first child. And in the birth of my first child, got to experience something so profound that I will never forget it for the rest of my life. And this was a different doc. when Mar was born, the OBGYN turned to me and had given me no advance warning at all, but he just said, hey, you want to cut the umbilical cord? And I thought, yeah, I want to do that. And in the moment that the scissors cut through the cord, it was like an out-of-body experience. I experienced this sort of current that flowed through the scissors into me, and in that brief moment, experienced a profound and intimate connection with thousands of generations preceding me and moving on into the future. Scored 10 points for the social animal that lives inside of Lenny. In the mid-90s, I joined this church. And for several years, I was quite involved down here. And then life circumstances changed, and I didn't come down as much. And then after a while, I was pretty distant. And then I decided, you know, maybe I'm not so much a member of this church anymore. Maybe I'm more a friend of the church. there I am, comfort on the periphery. And that's what I've been for many years. And in recent years, I've been more connected, but I still like being a friend of the church. One thing I'm going to comment on, I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this, but whether I'm in the pews or up here, I typically don't participate in like group readings, recitations. And when I'm in the pew, that seems fine and comfortable. When I'm up standing up here, it feels a little bit awkward, like I'm being a little bit rude or something. I don't know. But I can trace that to an experience when I was a pretty young kid. I don't know how young exactly, but somewhere between third and fifth grade, I was sitting in a church next to my parents in the pews, and the church, the congregation was reciting the Lord's Prayer. And I remember thinking to myself, either every one of these people believes these words exactly as they're being spoken, or there's something else going on here. And I wasn't really sure what else was going on, but it made me a little bit uncomfortable. And the Lord's Prayer, I remember. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I didn't have any qualm with those words, but there's an awful lot of S's. And when there's a big group of people reciting something with a lot of S's, it sounds a little snake-like a little bit. Just lets us forgive us our trespasses anyway. Anyway, so how many years has that been? Where I'm like, nah, thanks, I'm going to sit out this group reading. So I guess chalk up a couple points for Lenny as individual, I don't know. After about 9 years of working in the social services, I decided it was time to do something concrete for a living. And I got into the building trades, which was actually much closer to my original professional goals. So I have spent 35 years as a small business owner, still with a soft spot in my heart for some of the philosophical underpinnings of Marxism. But over those years, I've really enjoyed being my own boss. And for me, what that meant is I had two bosses. And one is my sense of what it means to be a craftsman, and my sense of how to treat other people in a business relationship. And that would be clients, employees, other tradespeople. I did love being my own boss. I have loved being my own boss. But when I reflect back on my experience working at Bethesda, I really enjoyed being a team player too. I was a real organizational guy, raw team. I'm going to say a couple things about construction that do relate to this. The construction is a lot about fitting things together, and some of that is structural. Putting the pieces together that are going to hold up a house or a building, making sure that they're sturdy and aren't going to fall apart. A lot of that, though, is aesthetic. It's about making sure pieces fit nicely together. It's about creating balance between disparate materials. Balance, but without relying on symmetry. Creating a sense of proportion between different elements. In materials and colors, creating, you know, enough contrast to make it interesting, but not so much contrast for there to be conflict. And are these not some of the same ways in which we speak about our relationships with each other? Having a nice fit, creating a balance and a sense of proportion, enough contrast for things to be interesting, but minimizing conflict. And over the years, I began to suspect that at least part of my passion for my work had something to do with my interest and my desire for human relationship. My wife, Belinda, has been out of town for the last few days, and she called. So I've got written down here. So the next thought is that, so my wife, Belinda, who is the, you know, my most significant and most intimate relationship that I have and have had for 26 years or so, that would make her my inspiration or a significant inspiration in my work, which I really like that idea. And so my wife, Belinda, called out of the blue this morning just to say, hey, good luck with your talk. And it was just after I finished typing that out, and I said, hey, it's my muse. And she said, huh? I said, I'll have to explain later. But just sort of as an example, this was a few years ago. I can't remember the exact project or exact pieces I was fitting together, but it was something very complicated, a couple different materials that needed to fit together just perfectly. And I worked at it, and when I fitted them together, it was like a glove. And I said out loud, and to no one in particular, I said, God, that's almost better than sex. And my plumber, who was in the same room working over here, looked over at me as if like, what are you, nuts? And I said, oh, okay, all right, not almost better. All right, not even close. But isn't it just an amazing metaphor? And that's all I'm going to say about that. I said at the outset that in doing these, my hope for myself personally is during the course of thinking through some of this stuff, I come out with a better understanding of some aspect of whatever it is I'm doing. And it was the case here, because I realized that my confusion was that I had been thinking about this whole individual versus social being as a continuum, and it's not. It's not at all. They, at least in myself, and I imagine in the rest of us, they're independent of each other. So instead of looking at a visual like number line with one over here and one over there, I thought, oh, it's like two axes. Here's the individual axes, here's the social component, social being axis, and you can be anywhere you are or want to be or strive to be on those. I realized something else. And you know, during all this, I'm thinking, aren't I quirky? Aren't I unique? And then I realized most of my closest adult friends, of which there's at least a couple in the room today, fit that description exactly. Very strong individuals, but with a sense of community that's really, really impressive. And then I realized something else. I realized, so I'm going to be talking to a congregation in a Unitarian church, which is a faith that, in my mind, is very, on the one hand, very individual-centered, right? It's up to each of us as individuals to kind of determine for ourselves what it's all about. And yet, we come here once a week to celebrate that. And just a quick read through the, maybe it's more than seven now, but I'm used to thinking of the seven principles that underlie the Unitarian faith. And every single one of them is either about the individual or about the community. And the community might mean this congregation. It might mean our town. It's the community of personhood and also the environmental community. So what that means to me is two things. One is it makes sense that this has been a very comfortable place for me to be on the periphery of all these years. And it also means, and I'm embarrassed to acknowledge this, but I'm going to, that to a certain extent, I've just been up here mansplaining to all y'all folks about stuff you already know. And I'm going to leave it at that because Josh told me to be done by 20 after, and it's 21 after.